This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Reality of Everything by Rebecca Yarros, narrated by C.J. Bloom and Teddy Hamilton. Chapter 1. Morgan. Take the money. Use it. Don't just give it to charity or stick it in a bank account, Morgan. Spend it on something that brings you happiness. Use it to leave, like you always planned. I just wish I were going with you. Okay, so maybe I was in over my head. As if the octagon-shaped house agreed with my thoughts, one of the struggling shutters on the third floor gave up its battle with the ocean breeze and came loose with a loud creak. All three of us leaned to the right, following the slow slide of the doomed shutter until it snapped free, slammed into another shutter, knocking it loose, and finally fell 30 feet to the sand below.
"Let me get this straight," Sam said, sliding her sunglasses down her nose to peer over the frames at the stilted beach house that, as of 36 hours ago, I now owned. "Will left you $500,000, and you bought this?"
"Not exactly," I drawled. They both turned their heads slowly toward mine. "Will left me a secondary life insurance policy worth $500,000. His attorney invested it until I was ready to do something, and it ended up a little over $600,000.
"And you bought this?"
Sam repeated, her hazel green eyes wide with disbelief.
"Yep."
"Sure, it kind of resembled a giant mushroom, but the price had been right."
"To tear down," she clarified.
"I'm fixing it up," I declared, my voice a hell of a lot stronger than my certainty. That had been one of the conditions of the purchase. The house groaned, and we tilted our heads to the left as the previously assaulted shutter submitted to gravity and plummeted down the gray shingled exterior, landing next to its partner like a tombstone in the sand.
"Even the exterior is jumping ship,"
Mia muttered from my other side, folding her arms across her chest. As our only Outer Banks native, her appraisal gave me pause. If anyone knew beach houses, it was Mia. She was more than Sam's sister-in-law. She'd grown up an hour north of here and was currently studying architecture at UNC.
"It survived the last hurricane,"
I argued on behalf of the house.
"On life support,"
Mia muttered, walking forward to examine the stilts. Hence, why it had been so cheap.
"It's not that bad,"
my voice pitched a little high. "Maybe it was weathered. Rather ugly, odd-shaped, and appeared to be falling apart. But I'd been assured that the bones were good." I received 2 doses of side-eye from my girlfriends.
"It was bad enough for you to call in reinforcements,"
Sam raised her eyebrows. "Not that I'm complaining. I'm just glad I happened to be visiting Grayson's parents when you called. Plus, it's been ages since I've seen you." Guilt pricked me right in the heart.
"It hasn't been ages. I saw you at your wedding just 2 months ago. Oh, you mean the half hour you were at the reception before leaving Vegas? You didn't even say goodbye to Paisley."
Her tone teased, but I felt the underlying worry.
"Yeah, well,"
I took a deep breath, searching for the words that had eluded me for the last 22 months. "How did you tell your best friends that as much as you loved them, you simply couldn't stand to be around them?
Or their happiness? I wanted to stay, but I
couldn't." It sounded lame even to my ears. "Still?" she asked softly. "Still." Sam was the only one in our group of friends I could talk to without being 95% fake about how I was doing. Maybe it was because she'd been my roommate for a while in college. Maybe it was because she didn't point to the calendar and push me to be all healed, pretty, and ready for social niceties. Or maybe it was because she didn't shove her happiness in my face. The others, well, they oozed
happiness, and then left it lying around like glitter you could never get out of the carpet. And sure, Sam had fallen in love with Grayson, one of our flyboys, while he was in Army flight school, but Grayson hadn't been tangled up in what followed afterward. It was always Josh and Ember, then Paisley and Jagger, and Sam and Grayson. I had assumed it would be Will and me. Until he was killed in Afghanistan. The girl I'd been, the one who believed in happily ever afters, had died with him. I didn't even know the woman I was now, just that she had a fixer-upper beach house and a master's degree in childhood education and English. The rest of me was a whole lot of empty, and whatever wasn't empty was pain. They miss you, Sam said softly. Ember, Paisley, the guys. I'll get there. The promise felt as hollow as my heart. Just not yet. And until then, we get to have you, Mia offered with a supportive smile. And maybe being here will help you heal at your own pace instead of everyone else's. Sam's posture softened, and she squeezed my arm gently. Why don't you show us the inside of this monstrosity? Yeah, let's do that, I agreed, thankful she let me off the hook like always. We climbed the stairs that led from the pedestal garage to the first floor of the house. The homes around here were all on stilts to protect them from the rising waters brought in from storm surges, and my house was no exception. My house. It wasn't really mine, though, was it? It was his, bought with money I'd never wanted from something I'd spent nights praying would never happen. Watch the landing. I skipped over the split board halfway up the staircase. You know, you could always wait 6 months for Grayson to get home from deployment. I bet he'd be happy to lend a hammer, Sam suggested as we crossed the dilapidated deck to the front door. In 6 months, this thing might be a heap on the beach, Mia teased, pulling her black curls into a ponytail. She was unlike her brother in almost every way. Petite where he was broad, ivory-skinned where her brother had a perpetual tan, and bright blue eyes where Grayson's were more the color of gunmetal. But her stubborn streak? Yeah, that was all Grayson. Good thing Sam had an even bigger one to put up with him. Oh, come on. You haven't even seen the inside yet, I argued. I'm picturing something very Adams family, Mia drawled. I mean, I'm delighted you took the job at Cape Hatteras Elementary, but maybe I should have come down and checked this out for you. Or sent Joey. Or someone. Anyone. I paused with my hand on the sun-warmed door handle. It was in the 70s, which was warm for mid-March in the Outer Banks. It was nothing compared to the intensity summer would bring. Luckily, having been born and raised in southern Alabama, I was no stranger to heat or humidity. Okay, so buying it when all I'd seen were the pictures on Zillow and the inspection report was risky. But just wait. The door stuck, and I forced it open with a shove of my shoulder before stepping into the small foyer. Aged wood paneling greeted us along every wall as I led them toward the living room. Holy shit, Sam whispered, her jaw dropping at the view. Exactly. The wall of windows looking out over the Atlantic was what had convinced me to pull the financial trigger, and by. We walked across the spongy avocado green carpet that matched the kitchen walls, counters, and appliances, and I opened the sliding glass door with a cringe-worthy squeak. Ignore that boarded-up window, I nodded toward the southmost side. And that one, too? Sam pointed toward another segment of plywood. Yep, and watch for the missing boards out here. The salty ocean breeze lifted the hair off my neck and back as the girls followed me across the wide deck until we rested our hands on the splintered wooden railing. Below, the small fenced yard ended with a gate leading to a short wooden path that climbed over the dune to a deserted beach about 100 feet away. Waves crashed with soothing regularity, coming in a hypnotizing rhythm. Can you believe people actually live here? Talk about paradise. His voice slid across my heart, and my eyes fluttered shut at the sharp, sweet pain the memory inflicted. It had been almost 2 years since I stood on a deck like this one, farther up the coast in Nag's Head, with Will. Now I was one of the people who actually lived here. He would have loved it. Now I can see why you bought it. Mia's gaze drifted north, then south. What year was this built? Early 50s? 51, I replied. How did you know? There are no other houses beyond the dunes. You and your lone neighbor right there are the only ones for miles. Hatteras has a protected beachfront, and my guess is this was built right before the seashore was established as a national park. Wow, I wonder how it escaped the eminent domain proceedings back then. The land has to be worth $1 million, Morgan. Maybe if you tear the house down, but there's a clause in my purchase contract that if the structure ceases to exist or is extended beyond a certain point, the land reverts back to the government. Fixing it is my only option. Mia shook her head. With the damage from last year's hurricane, this must have blended in with all the other fixer-uppers. You have your work cut out for you, but you seriously lucked out with the real estate. Shape of the house isn't bad either. Looks awkward as hell, but it actually deflects the wind like a champ. Probably why it's still standing. So it will always be just you and your lone neighbor, Sam surmised. By the way, why didn't you buy that one? She nodded toward the house next door. It was a bit smaller, but in perfect condition. Because it wasn't for sale. Besides, I like this house. Well, the possibilities, anyway. It was 2,500 square feet, had been in my price range, and felt like I did. Weathered, beaten, and broken in ways that needed more than just a coat of paint. It was a kindred spirit. Well, I know what I'm checking out next. The beach. Sam headed toward the northernmost staircase off the back deck. We followed her through the sandy yard, past the gate, and up the wood-planked path that led over the dune. You'll have to shovel the rest of this out, Mia said, pointing to the sand-covered path as we crested the small hill. The wind picks up the sand from the beach and leaves it right here, hence the dune, but it protects the house. Got it. I made a mental note, and we hiked down the first 5 feet, then slid the remaining 10 or so of the dune until we reached the beach. I gathered my flip-flops in one hand and surveyed the beach. Other than a few families farther up the coast, it was deserted. It's so quiet. Just the way we like it, Mia noted with a grin as we walked toward the water. It'll pick up in a couple weeks for spring break, and we're slammed in the summer. But once the tourists leave, it will pretty much look like this. It's peaceful, Sam remarked. Peace? I hadn't felt anything close to that emotion in the last couple of years. I wasn't even sure it existed in my reality. But the water, the sand, and the crisp breeze were soothing. That was enough. The sand grew firm and damp the farther we walked, and I paused, watching the ocean rush up to meet my toes and then overtake them. The water was deliciously cool, and it wasn't long before I sank slightly, sand eventually covering my feet. Color flashed next to my toes. When the next wave retreated, I scooped a small handful of wet sand and held my fingers slightly apart as the water returned, letting the sand strain through the gaps to reveal a slightly rounded, quarter-sized piece of frosted blue glass. What is... Sam shielded her eyes from the midday sun as she gawked at something in the water. Whoa! I mimicked her pose and saw a man coming out of the ocean a dozen yards away. Mercy! He was... Well, for a lit major, I was completely, ironically, speechless. Water sluiced down the cut lines of his muscles like he was some kind of ocean deity as he walked out of the surf. The black swim trunks contrasting his tan skin like the black tattoo that ran down his side. His abs had abs. He rubbed his hands over a thick head of light brown hair, rolled his broad shoulders, and then jogged down the beach straight toward us. "Oh my God," Mia drawled out every word. "Is he real? Or am I dreaming? Or do insanely hot men just appear from the water around here?" "I don't even know," Sam answered as he got closer. The wind whipped my long hair across my face, and I quickly fisted the unruly brown locks and the rebellious hem of my dress as he nearly reached us. Sweet Lord. He was a scorcher, if I'd ever seen one. Strong nose, carved chin, full chiseled lips with a Captain America edge that made me want to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. It was like God himself had crammed everything I found attractive into one man and dropped him into the ocean by my house. "Afternoon, ladies," he said with a slight smile, his breathing as even as his pace. Ocean blue eyes. Of course. Just a shade darker than the glass I held in my hand. They locked with mine, widening for a second before he passed and continued his run down the beach. "No southern accent," I said once I'd found my vocal cords.
"Must be a tourist." "Seriously, I'm going to visit you every weekend if this is how the island treats you."
Mia walked toward the water and cupped her hands around her mouth.
"Chris Hemsworth, please, or I'll settle for Liam." "Seriously, Mia, the ocean doesn't take requests." Sam rolled her eyes. "Not that we don't have a habit of meeting boys at the beach in our little group. What was it Paisley called Jagger?"
"Mr. California," I answered, remembering the day she'd met him on the coast of Florida almost 4 years ago. But their story has a happy ending. My eyes followed the retreating form of our jogger.
"Ah, that's right. That one doesn't feel like a California, though," she mused.
"More like Mr. Carolina," I offered.
"Ah, Carolina."
The girls sighed in tandem. He continued down the shore, and relief replaced the butterflies that had assaulted my stomach. As long as men like that didn't pop out of the ocean every day, I was in the clear. Not like I was in the market for a relationship anyway. It was impossible to offer someone a heart that I didn't have. Mine was buried over 500 miles away at West Point. Mia and Sam chatted while we climbed back to the house and then took the grand tour of what my heartache had bought me. Bedrooms, bathrooms, it all needed to be overhauled.
"Well," I asked as the girls took stock of the kitchen. "Honest opinion?"
Mia leaned against one of the formica counters. "Of course." She and Sam shared a glance.
"What?" "We need to call Joey," Mia said.
"Joey as in your sister?" I asked.
She nodded. "She manages Masters & Co. The family boat building business," Sam clarified.
"That's right. You guys build racing boats or something, right?" I hated that I wasn't as familiar with Grayson's family as I should have been, seeing as I'd met them a couple years ago.
"Or something," Mia said with a smirk. "But Joey knows all the reputable contractors in the OBX. She'll be able to give you a good list to start with. Unless you were thinking you'd head to the hardware store and start ripping stuff out yourself?"
Her eyes widened.
"Please say that's not what you're thinking."
"Kind of." I shrugged at the horrified looks on both their faces.
"Oh, Morgan. Not only no, but hell no. You're not..."
Sam motioned to the house.
"I know you're a huge HGTV fan, but this is not in your wheelhouse, and I say that with all the love in my heart."
"At least the structural stuff needs to be handled by professionals," Mia urged. "Remodeling on the beach is tricky." My stubbornness softened at the plea in their eyes. What harm could getting a few bids on the bigger projects be?
"Fine, call Joey. Whatever I can't do myself, I'll hire contractors for. Sound good?"
"Yep, absolutely." A couple hours later, Joey was on her way down from Nag's Head. Mia had gone in search of pizza and Sam tequila. I, on the other hand, was on a quest for the lights. The sun would set in a couple of hours, and I wasn't going to unload what little I'd brought with me with only half the lights on. I flipped through the file the real estate agent had left for me in the kitchen. Secondary breaker in the garage, I read aloud. Why in the hell would someone put another breaker box there? Maybe Sam and Mia were right. I'd at least need a contractor for the electrical work. There was probably another half hour before the girls got back, which meant if I found that box quickly, we could have the whole house lit. I rushed out my front door, not bothering to close it, and raced down the steps, jumping to the landing. Snap! The sound registered in my brain about a millisecond before I plummeted through the landing. I shrieked, throwing out my arms to catch my weight on the remaining platform. My boobs took the rest of the impact as they slammed against the edge of the hole I'd made with my lower half. Blinding pain ripped through me as my body scraped to a halt, but I didn't fall through. The sound that left my mouth was anything but ladylike. Holy shit, it hurt. Fire raced up my sides from thighs to ribs, and I was pretty sure my full D's were going to mutiny back to an A cup, or just fall right off. I took a few breaths to steady my heart, praying the pain would subside, and then struggled to get my elbows under me. Maybe I could lift just a little. Nope. You have to be fucking kidding me. There was no moving. None. Nada. Zip. I was firmly wedged in a hole of my own making without enough leverage to hoist myself out. A huff of self-deprecating laughter slipped free. Talk about a metaphor for my life. Will would have laughed his smug little ass off. Yeah. I bet you think this is hilarious and symbolic of some nonsense, I muttered, slipping into the familiar pattern of talking to him when I was alone. I swiveled my legs as far as I dared, hoping to find some purchase, but came into contact with nothing. Of course not. I was easily 7 or 8 feet off the ground here. Not deadly, just annoying. Humiliating if I was still here by the time Sam and Mia got back. Way to prove that I'd be totally fine out here on my own. I hadn't even made it through one day. I jiggled a bit and tried to squeeze my girls down through the opening. Ouch. That wasn't happening. What skin wasn't already raw from the scrape was protesting the pressure from the remaining boards. The sound of footsteps caught my attention, and I looked over to my neighbor's deck to see a little red-haired girl skipping down her stairs toward me. She had that kindergarten look about her, all round cheeks and wide eyes. Around 5 years old was my best guess, which meant there had to be an adult home, too. Oh, thank God. Hi, sugar. How are you? I asked as she raced across the 30 feet or so between our houses. She paused, shy of my staircase, her ride of curls stopping a second after the rest of her.
Hi. I'm not supposed to be out here alone, but I heard you yell. You're stuck.
Her forehead puckered over big brown eyes as her southern accent dragged out that last word just like mine would have. Not a tourist. At least, that meant the house next door wasn't a vacation rental.
I am. I admitted. I'm Morgan, your neighbor.
Her eyes widened.
Our new neighbor? We had old ones. Really, really old ones. They didn't get stuck.
I might have laughed if the wood against my ribs would have let my chest expand that far. That's who I bought the house from. What's your name?
I'm Finley. Daddy calls me Finn. Like a fish? Or a shark?
She wandered under the landing, and I lost sight of her. My feet stilled immediately. I wasn't taking any chances I'd kick her on accident.
Hey, I like Hello Kitty, too, she squealed in delight. I have the boring Saturday undies on today, but that's because I don't like the Sunday ones. They're green.
Hello Kitty. Oh my God. I assessed my situation more carefully, seeing fabric pooled beneath my breasts in a way it shouldn't be. And that breeze? Oh, no. No, no, no. Earth, just swallow me up right now. Right now.
You're really heavy, Miss Morgan,
Bless her little soul, she tried to push my feet up, but I didn't budge. I'm sure feeling that way, Finn. Can you do me a favor? She emerged and looked up at me, folding her arms across her chest.
You're really stuck in there. I'll get Dad's saw.
Oh, that's not necessary. But really, so kind of you to offer. Do you think you could get your mama for me? Please, God, there was no way I was going to wait another minute stuck in this damned staircase, flashing everyone on Cape Hatteras. Nope, no way. Hello Kitty needed to say goodbye.
No.
The girl shrugged, walking away.
No?
I questioned, sure my eyes were about to pop out of my head.
She lives in California.
Oh.
But I'll get my daddy. Don't worry, he's really good at rescuing people.
She raced up her deck stairs.
No, I'm okay. I'll just wait for my friends,
I called out, but she'd already disappeared into her house. I blinked, hoping I'd wake up from this new take on the naked at school nightmare I was currently living. When that didn't work, I resigned myself to the fact that I was about to meet my new neighbor in my underwear. Well, literally wedged in my landing. So much for first impressions. Wait, shit. I'd shaved my legs, but waxing had pretty much ceased since, well, a while ago. My landscaping habits had gone from meticulous to, well, au naturel. I hadn't given it much consideration or even cared until this very moment. This very inopportune moment. But my panties were boycott, so there was a prayer of a chance that everything would stay covered. Right? Could this possibly get any worse? There had to be a limit on the amount of humiliation someone could endure. The screen door shut next door, and I bit my lower lip. The pain reminded me yet again that this was definitely not a dream.
Come on, Daddy! Finley yelled.
I'm coming, honey,
a deep voice replied. The footsteps that followed down the steps were heavy, masculine.
It's okay, Miss Morgan. I brought my daddy. He was showering, but now he's not.
I opened my eyes to see Finley looking up at me with a smile, nodding her head enthusiastically. Thank you, Finley. A pair of bare feet appeared next to hers, attached to muscular legs that led to a pair of blue swimming trunks, and then abs that disappeared as a white t-shirt slid over his stomach, and a recognizable tattoo. I looked up into familiar, ocean blue eyes and groaned. Oh God, just strike me dead right now. It was Mr. Carolina. Apparently, there was not a limit on humiliation.
Chapter 2. Jackson. Huh. Well, this was definitely not the way I'd planned on introducing myself to the new neighbor. It was like I'd stumbled into one of those magic acts where the girl was cut in half with a box, except this one sure didn't seem like the willing assistant type. Damn if she didn't have the legs for it, though. Okay, I said, mostly to myself, completing a quick assessment of the situation. She was wedged in the weak spot of the landing, the one I'd suggested Diane and Carl get fixed before they put the house on the market. Hell, I'd been begging them for years to fix it, thinking one of them would meet the same fate. I forced my gaze upward and found the profile of my new neighbor's face, as red as her Hello Kitty underwear, which was the only scrap of fabric between her exposed ribs and her toes. Underwear I definitely shouldn't have seen or taken notice of. But in my defense, they were right there in my face. She'd taken out both horizontal planks, leaving the surrounding wood intact instead of splintering into her, but she'd definitely be feeling those abrasions and bruises up her side for a while. Her ribs were scraped raw and bleeding slightly in places. Finley, stay here, honey. I'm not sure it's safe to come up the stairs. After she nodded, I walked around the staircase and started up the steps, dropping to my knees a few steps beneath the landing so I could look my very embarrassed neighbor in the eye. Well, I would once she stopped squeezing them shut. Oh, fuck me. She was the knockout from the beach earlier. The gorgeous one with the hair and the eyes and the sundress currently keeping her company above the landing. Hey there, I said softly. She opened one eye, then the other, like she was hoping I'd disappeared, and I was met with a stunning set of browns, dark at the edges, paling to amber at the centers, and framed by long, thick lashes. Every word I'd been about to speak evaporated from my head. Her eyes were as striking as she was, but there was something about them. A deep, lingering sadness that I bet had jack and shit to do with the predicament she was currently in. I'd seen a flash of it on the beach, but it was even more pronounced up close, and damn if it didn't trigger a need to save her from whatever caused it, too. "Hi," she answered, her southern accent thicker than honey. "Looks like you could use some help." I concentrated on not swallowing my tongue. The phrase stunningly beautiful wasn't new to me, but this was the first time I'd ever been actually stunned. "I'm really okay," she protested with the fakest smile I'd ever seen. It would have almost been comical if I hadn't already seen her skin and how much pain she had been in. "My girlfriends will be back any minute, so there's really no reason to trouble yourself." Whoa. Yeah, that accent was deeper than anything the natives spoke with around here, and twice as sexy as that Irish girl last summer who'd rented out the place next to Sawyer's. "Trouble myself? I'm not sure if you've noticed, but you're kind of stuck in your staircase."
"It has not escaped my attention."
She kept that stubborn smile. "How badly does it hurt? Scale of 1 to 10. Maybe it was because I'd softened my tone or the adrenaline was wearing off, but she sighed and dropped the pretense along with her shoulders.
5? A little scraped, I think, but mostly just mortified. I'm sure I can pop right out of this."
She tried to push up on her forearms and I cringed.
"Or not."
"Careful. You skinned your ribs."
"Feels like it. Most of the pain is there, in my hips, in my dignity, but I can't quite get a full breath."
"You are wedged pretty tight there, kitty." The nickname slipped off my tongue before I could stop it. She groaned, dropping her chin to her chest, and even the tip of her ears blushed pink.
"Of all the things to be wearing, this is right up there with the one time my cheerleading skirt got tucked into my spankies," she mumbled.
"Spank? What?" A laugh whispered to keep Finley from hearing. Her head popped up and she rolled her eyes.
"Spankies? They're, you know, bloomers. They go under cheerleading skirts. I really wish I was wearing them right now, as a matter of fact."
And now that I had that image in my head. "Well, let's get you out of this mess." I scanned the landing, studying the other boards that looked ready to give way if I put any weight on them. "I don't have the right angle to pull you out from here, and if we break any of those boards, we chance hurting you more. We're going to have to lift you out. You good with that?" She pressed her full lips together in a tight line and nodded. "Let's do it." I gave her what I hoped was a reassuring smile, then walked down the steps and under the landing, doing my best to ignore her mostly naked lower half hanging in my face. Chances were she was involved with whomever drove that lifted F-250 parked by the old boathouse. It practically screamed alpha male from the size of the tires to the light rack. Takes one to know one. Not that it mattered. Anyone who lived next door, or knew Finley, was off the one-night stand table, which was all I was capable of. Finn tripped over my feet, and I caught her by the waist before she smacked her head on the support pillar. "Finn, honey, why don't you give me some space here? I don't want to squash your toes." Finn nodded, then scurried out from under my feet and retreated to the patio chairs that lined our section of the fence, eager to watch the show. I assessed the finger's width of space I had between her ribs and the surrounding wood and mentally cursed. She was a curved peg in a square hole. "Okay, you must have fallen at an angle. We're going to have to maneuver you a little to get you through, otherwise you'll get hung up on your ass," I mentally finished. Not that it wasn't spectacular, but in this situation it was definitely not helping her out.
"Bottom?" she suggested.
"Exactly.
I might need you to give it a little push. There, I don't have any leverage up here."
"Can I borrow a cup of sugar? Do you have any extra plywood to board the windows? We're headed out of town for the weekend. Could you water the plants?" In the nearly 6 years I'd owned my home, those were the kinds of things the Hatchers had asked. There had never once been a, "Could you push my ass at the right angle so I can get out of the hardwood landing I'm stuck in?" discussion, ever. Looked like I was about to cross every neighborly boundary in the first 5 minutes of knowing this woman. I stepped out from under the landing and met her gaze. "Hey," I repeated my earlier line.
"Hey,"
she echoed, but with the ghost of a smile. "I'm Jackson Montgomery. I figured I should probably introduce myself first. Not that I ever introduced myself to any of the people I saved. I wasn't the people person. That was Garrett's job. Friends call me Jax."
"Morgan Bartley. Pleasure to meet you."
Morgan. Perfect. Like my favorite rum, which had a lot in common with the color of her eyes. Eyes you're not getting involved with, remember? Excellent. Now I don't have to keep calling you Kitty.
"It's kind of growing on me, embracing the situation and all."
She laughed lightly.
"Lots of worse things I could have been wearing, that's for sure."
Crap. Not only was she gorgeous, but I liked her, too. Not many people I knew could keep their sense of humor in this kind of situation. "Okay then, Kitty. Here we go." I headed back under the landing. Shit, she was streaked with bruises and scrapes from rib to hip to thighs. Only her waist and lower legs had escaped unscathed. "Ready?"
"Reckon now is as good a time as any,"
she called back. Without ceremony, I gripped her waist and lifted her. Umph! The sound escaped as her ribs slid free of the landing barrier. "Better?" I settled her onto my left shoulder, careful to keep my forearm locked over the top of her thighs to avoid brushing her abused sides.
"A little," she answered. "I can get a full breath now, thank you."
Seeing the new gap between her waist and the planks, I reached for my right hand and tugged gently on the fabric of her sundress, pulling it down in sections to give her as much modesty as I could offer.
"Thank you,"
she repeated, softer this time. "Take a second to catch your breath, and then we'll lift you the rest of the way." My head turned at the sound of tires on the gravel driveway, a small sedan parked between the enormous truck and the moving pod. Then two women got out, one pale, holding a large pizza box, and the other one with a tawny complexion and a bottle of what looked to be tequila, both wide-eyed and slack-jawed.
"Oh my God, Morgan!"
They raced toward the steps. "Whoa, hold up!" I called out through the slats in the stairs, sending them to a skidding halt. I don't know how much weight that landing can take. Two heads popped around the base of the staircase, and I gave them a nod. "Hi there."
"Mr. Carolina?"
the petite one asked, her jaw dropping. "Mr. what?" Not the last time I checked. Then again, I don't really run in the pageant circuits," I answered. The tequila-toting one came over to see my hands locked firmly on the tops of Morgan's thighs, one over and one under her dress. "I'd shake your hand, but as you can see, mine are a little full at the moment."
"Well then,"
she said without a trace of southern accent.
"Morgan, are you hurt?" "A little banged up, but nothing to fret over,"
Morgan answered, shifting a little on my shoulder. She weighed next to nothing.
"So that's Finley, and Jackson here is my next-door neighbor. How's that for luck?"
"Jax," I offered. Finn waved, and Morgan's friend returned the gesture before looking back at me.
"Well, Jax, how awkward. I mean, awesome to meet you. I'm Sam, and that's my sister-in-law Mia, and the girl you have perched on your shoulders is one of my best friends, so what can I do to help?"
"Nice to meet you too," I told the ladies. "Giving Morgan a hand up would be great. The rest of the stairs look sound, but the landing's unstable. If you could go up the back steps and come down these to that last stair before the landing, that would be awesome. See if you can get your hands under her arms to help guide her onto the stairs as I lift her. Don't let her put weight on the landing if you can help it."
"Done. Mia!"
she called to the other girl, and they were gone in a blur. "You doing okay up there, Morgan?" I asked. What kind of perfume was she wearing? Sure as hell smelled divine. Vanilla and strawberries?
"I should be asking you that, seeing as I'm currently sitting on you."
I almost laughed. "Don't worry about me, I'm doing just fine." I sent a wink in Finley's direction, who giggled behind her hand.
"You're not going to be too tired to lift me out?"
Morgan asked, worry saturating her voice and increasing the number of syllables in that last word. Holy shit, the woman could read the phone book with that accent, and I'd be hooked. "Trust me, I could hold you all day. I'm not going to let you fall." I felt a gentle give in her posture. Good. She'd relaxed a little. "So you bought the house, huh?" I asked, trying to fill the silence until the girls could get around to Morgan.
"Yeah, maybe I should have looked at it first,"
Her voice dropped, nearly unintelligible with the wood muffling the sound between us. You didn't look at it first? Seriously?
I saw pictures, she shot back. And the inspection report and Google Maps, I just didn't visit it until today.
Holy shit. She'd walked in blind? The house itself was structurally sound, but damn, did it need some upkeep. It hadn't been touched since the Hatchers bought it back in the 70s. And is it what you were expecting? She tensed. Morgan?
It's not that I didn't want something to fix. I did. I do. I want to look at something and say I did that.
Her sigh was loud enough for me to feel it in my chest.
There just happens to be a lot more fixing to do than I initially thought.
Is your husband handy? I'd learned that it was always safer to assume a woman was in a relationship than go with the opposite. Plus, with her soft, bare skin under my fingers, it would be handy to know if I was about to get punched in the face by an overprotective partner. Her thighs turned to stone.
I'm not married, not involved, and not looking.
She bit out every word. Damn, I'd just gotten rejected from a girl I hadn't even hit on. That was a first. Sorry, I saw the truck and assumed. And there was the number one problem with assuming anything. Not that a woman can't have a jacked-up truck like that or anything. It's a nice piece of equipment.
It was left to me by a friend. I'd drive the Mini Cooper over there. So know any good contractors?
Subject closed. Got it. I can dig you up some names.
We're here. Sorry, we had to climb over the bottom gate and, well, we're short. It took a second.
Sam leaned over the railing.
Ready?
Absolutely. Morgan?
Yep.
Here we go. I'm sorry, this might hurt a little. You're pretty banged up.
Do it, I'm tougher than I look.
I somehow didn't doubt it as I switched my grip to her hips, careful to place my hands outside her dress. 1, 2, 3. I lifted her slowly and watched her progress through the small opening. Okay, angle back toward Sam, I ordered as the curve of her ass reached the board. At 6'4", I could reach over the 7 feet to the landing, but I needed a better grip to get her the rest of the way through. My hands are about to get friendly, I warned her.
What, like they weren't already?
She joked. Ha! I switched my grip quickly, grasping the back of her thigh with one hand and sliding below her knee with the other. I powered her through, letting my higher hand slip from her thigh as she rose.
Gotcha!
Sam exclaimed. Then Morgan stepped free, and my hands were empty.
It worked,
she called out, leaning over the railing from the stairs above the landing. I stepped into the evening sunlight and smiled up at her. Sure did.
You rescued her,
Finley called out, running at me in a tangle of curls and limbs. I caught her easily and lifted her to sit on my shoulders. Wasn't really a rescue, I told my daughter. Just a few feet.
Well, it sure felt like a rescue to me,
Morgan countered, flashing a smile that hit me right at the knees.
You definitely saved the day.
The petite one, Mia, I think they'd called her, drawled with the local accent I'd grown accustomed to, batting pretty blue eyes at me.
That's his job, Finley answered.
She squirmed and I let her down.
I'm hungry.
With that declaration, she was off and running up our stairs.
I'm glad you're not stuck anymore, Miss Morgan,
she called out and disappeared into the house. Always hungry, that one, I said with a smile.
Well, thank you for helping get our friend out.
Sam started up the steps. When Mia didn't move, she grasped the strap on her tank top.
We'll see you later.
Mia gave me one more grin and followed Sam. That left just Morgan. She tucked her hair behind her ears and stared at the banister.
Thank you,
she said quietly. My pleasure. Her eyes shot to mine, no doubt thinking of the eyeful I'd received. Poor choice of words. I'll come over in the morning and lay down some plywood. That will give you time to get the contractors out to estimate. Well, everything.
Don't worry. I'll take care of it.
Her spine straightened. She hadn't been kidding about wanting to fix things herself. Stubborn much?
I'm not sure why you'd think that.
She crossed her arms under her breasts and winced. Because I'm offering you help and you're not accepting it.
I just did.
She motioned to the landing. You had no other choice, unless you wanted to wait for your girlfriends to break out a saw. I tucked my thumbs in the pockets of my shorts. As I recall, you argued that you were really okay, as your feet dangled. Stubborn.
Yet I still accepted your help. but I'll fix the landing myself.
Jesus, what if she nailed through rotten boards or cut the size wrong? I'd have to haul her out all over again. So you have experience with carpentry and all that? Why wouldn't she let me help? Everyone around here helped each other out. Not that she knew that, or that I'd spent my summers on my dad's construction sites until I left for college. There was a flicker of something in her eyes that told me her admirable determination might not match her skill set.
Well, no, not yet at least,
she admitted. Not your business, not your problem to fix. Don't get involved. When you said you wanted something to fix, you meant in the hire people who know what they're doing kind of way, right? Not the pick up a hammer way? Way to make it your business, jackass. Because this house is going to take more experience than a weekend fixer-upper marathon. Unless you and your roommates have some construction history that those soft hands of yours aren't advertising, you're going to need help. What happened to not your problem? She visibly bristled.
One, they're not my roommates. They're just visiting. I'm on my own and quite capable. For certain things, I'll have to hire a contractor, but I have a few months until my job starts, so I'm sure I can figure out the rest through online tutorials.
Wait, are you seriously considering learning how to remodel via YouTube? She tensed, and her eyes, those were on fire. Holy crap, you are. Was I worried for her or completely in awe? Probably a little of both, to be honest.
It was really nice to meet you, Jackson.
She all but dismissed me.
I wish it hadn't been under such memorable circumstances.
And now that blush was back, rising in her cheeks again. Let me help, at least with the safety things. I did almost the entire remodel on our house by myself. Well, with some buddies from work. Your house hasn't been touched since the 70s, and I doubt the structure has ever been reinforced. The Hatchers loved it just the way it was. Avocado paint and everything. For a second, I thought she might relent. I'm reliable, I swear. I put my hand to my heart. Her chin rose at least 2 inches. Wrong thing to say.
Contrary to what just happened, which I'm incredibly grateful for, I am not in the habit of relying on men, even the pretty ones. So I'll be fixing my own landing. Thank you very much.
She turned me down with a brisk nod of her head. There was a hell of a story there, but all I could focus on was pretty.
But really, her voice gentled. Thank you so much for...
She motioned toward the landing and dropped her gaze again.
You know.
She gifted me with a closed lip, embarrassed smile, and then retreated up her stairs. Holy whiplash. The woman was soft-spoken one second, then spitting fire at me the next. Much to my dismay, I more than kind of liked it. Pushing you out of the hole you fell into? Crap, was I grinning. How could I not? She was so indignant that I'd offered to help, but I'd literally just pushed her ass out of the staircase.
Right, that. Thanks.
She paused and waved like a queen to a subject, but didn't turn around. That offer stands. You need anything, just knock, or I can have Finley run over with our phone number.
I appreciate the gesture.
Lord save me from polite southern manners. She stilled, then turned back toward me, her posture relaxed.
Please tell Finley thank you for me. She really saved my butt.
Her head tilted and she winced slightly, then gave me a self-deprecating chuckle.
Literally.
I laughed, the sound more honest than any I'd made because of a woman in a long time. My phone rang and I reached into my lower pocket to check the caller ID. Please don't be a rescue. It was just Sawyer. See you around, kitty. She sputtered, smoothing her dress back down around her thighs as I crossed the yard to our house, swiping to answer Sawyer's call. What's up? Is it Finley Free Weekend? He asked with the noise of a bar in the background. Nope, that's only once a month and you know it. So whatever it is you want me to do, the answer is no unless it involves you on my couch with Moana. I heard a door shut and glanced over at Morgan's. She'd made it inside without another incident. Damn. I mean, I love Finn. I was just kind of hoping you would wingman me here at McGinty's. There's a set of twins with... Nope, you're flying solo. I started up the steps toward my door. Come on, call her Grams. You know she'd love to keep her. And don't try to tell me you don't want to get laid. I always wanted to get laid. Sex was a physical need I had zero guilt or trouble gratifying. but I steered clear of emotional entanglements, clingers, and anyone who saw Finley and thought they needed to step in as her mom, which basically meant I was perpetually single except for the occasional one-night stand with a tourist, exactly the way I liked it. My eyes reverted to Morgan's porch. Yeah, not going there. Wanting to do something and doing it are two different things. It's called adulthood. Call Garrett. I'm sure he'll back you up. Come on, get a sitter. Call Brianna. You should see the legs on these. I wasn't calling Finley's aunt or giving up time with Finn. Bye, Sawyer. See you Tuesday. I hung up on my best friend, wishing he'd grow the hell up. The thought made me pause. Maybe he was acting our age, and I was actually way too old in my head to be physically 28. Funny, I'd seen that same quiet maturity in Morgan's eyes when I'd run past her on the beach today. It had been more than a little at odds with her Hello Kitty underwear. Not that I was ever going to see those again. With every step I climbed, I tried to shove the gorgeous brunette out of my head. There was room for only one woman in my life, and she was 5 years old.
Chapter 3. Morgan. To be honest, you scared the shit out of me. You always knew what you wanted, even when we were kids. You have this incredible, fearless approach to life that I lost somewhere along the way. But you need to know that. Little by little, I've felt it coming back, and it's because of the way I feel when I'm around you. You're bringing me back to life, Morgan.
I've read your chart, history, and Dr. Meyer's notes, but can you tell me more about how and when the anxiety attacks occur?
Dr. Searcy asked, leaning back in the purple armchair across from mine. She was nothing like Dr. Myers, who'd simply given me a prescription and walked away. Then again, Dr. Searcy looked to be about 30, and had a way better bedside manner than the 72-year-old psychiatrist I'd seen since the attack started nearly 2 years ago. Sure, I said, adjusting in my own seat. Of course, I didn't want to go through it all again. But moving here meant I needed a new doc before my current prescription ran out. My head starts to race, and my heart jumps, like it's trying to keep up with the thoughts, but then I swallowed past the familiar tightening sensation in my throat as it took hold, just like it did every time I tried to describe it. Then my throat closes, like someone has a fist around the base of it, squeezing. I leaned my head back, stretching my neck as I reminded myself that I could still breathe. It was just uncomfortable. It was like my anxiety attacks had a defense mechanism of their own to keep me from talking about them.
Are you having one now?
I shrugged, bringing my eyes back to hers. Sometimes they happen or intensify when I think about them, but mostly it's when I think or talk about... Mercy, it hurt. I stretched my neck again, breathing past the vice grip in my throat. Him. I shoved the images and feelings aside that swamped me whenever he came to mind. Can you tell me about... She checked my chart. Will? Without permission, memories crashed through my defenses. A million different moments from thousands of days over 24 years. Childhood, high school, Peyton dying, him coming home from West Point, Paisley, the breakup, his unwillingness to be with me, the ball, the wings, the kiss, the casket. No, I forced out, trying desperately to cram everything back in the box. It's not that I don't want to, but... I swallowed and swallowed again until she leaned forward, nudging a bottle of water across the glass coffee table. I twisted off the top and chugged half the bottle, trying to dislodge the tension in my throat, to swallow it down, but it didn't help. It never did. A few moments passed while I watched the waves crash on the beach outside the window. I have trouble talking about him, I finally admitted. I don't really know where to start, how to sum him up in words, and then I can't breathe because I know exactly how it ends, and I can't go there. To when he died, I nodded.
It's like opening Pandora's box. I can't pick and choose what comes out of it. That's fair. She nodded slowly. How often do you think about him? My eyes jumped back to hers. More than I should. All the time, every minute of every day. If my life was an ocean, then the water was Will. Always there, sometimes calm, deep and soothing, and sometimes he was a tsunami ready to pull me under in waves of grief so deep I wondered when I'd eventually drown. And who told you that there was an appropriate amount of thinking to be done? She sipped her tea. I blinked. Everyone, I guess. Family, friends, my old psychiatrist. I'm supposed to get over it, right? It's not supposed to still hurt like this. She studied me carefully, but it wasn't intrusive or judgmental. How long has it been? 22 months. The longest months of my damn life. Every day felt like it was a personal test designed to see how much I could take. Some days I won, some days I didn't. Has it gotten any better? The grief? Compared to what? Compared to the first month or so after he passed? He hadn't passed. He'd been taken. Hell, he'd given his life away. No, I finally answered. But I gave up on that a long time ago. Kind of figured this was simply the way things would be now. This is how I am. And how is that? Broken? I stared at the water in my hands. My previous doctor told me it's anxiety and depression. You have my file. I do. She put her tea down and scribbled on a little notepad. But I'd rather hear it from you than read another clinician's notes. When you think of your future, what do you see for yourself? What did I see? It had been so long since I thought about goals that I wasn't sure I even had them anymore. I don't know. I mean, I bought my house and I need to fix it up. I took a job that starts in September. I shrugged. And past that, what about long term? That is long term. Anything past this week was long term as far as I was concerned. Her brow puckered for a moment before she gave me an understanding nod. Okay, and friends? I have friends. There are a couple I'm still really close to, but the others... I looked back at the ocean like it had the answers I needed. They moved on, and I'm stuck. Like someone pressed pause and I'm still waiting for him to come home from that deployment. She scribbled on her pad again. I wasn't sure I wanted to know whatever it was she wrote on that thing. And moving here. Was that looking to the future? Yes. Was what she wanted to hear. A healthy person would have said that moving here was their new start. That they were ready to wake up and greet the morning with the kind of optimism that simply didn't exist for me. Be honest, she urged, her eyes kind. There's no right or wrong answer. I'm just getting a feel for where you are in the process. He was everywhere, I said softly. In Alabama, I couldn't go anywhere without being accompanied by a memory of him. I couldn't teach at our elementary school or eat at the same restaurants because he was everywhere. And everyone in our little town thought I should either be over him or setting up a shrine. So you escaped, I nodded. How did your loved ones feel about the move? My mother is pretty unhappy with me. She thinks a woman is no business living alone. Guess she forgets she was raising me on her own at this age. The friends I'm still close to are supportive. One of them is here, actually. So you do have a support structure here. Sam's just visiting, and I can support myself. And the others? The ones who have moved on, as you said. Guilt smacked me. I haven't told them I moved. Haven't talked to them in months, really. I can't. I just need a break from them. I finished the last part on a whisper. It was the first time I'd said it aloud to anyone but Sam. I couldn't stand to be near most of my friends. My avoidance was more than declining a call once in a while. It had become methodical. And when is the last time you felt happy? Or at least, weren't thinking about your loss? Happy? I skipped right over that thought. But then again, a few days ago, I fell through my landing. I said slowly, "Are you okay?" Her eyebrows rose. "I'm bruised up, but fine. Thank you for asking." I swallowed. "But this man, my next-door neighbor, he pulled me out. And there were a few minutes where the only pain I felt was from where I'd gotten scraped. I only thought about Will when Jackson asked about his truck." Heat flooded my cheeks as I twisted the cap of my water. "I'm glad he pulled you out, Morgan. How did you feel after that encounter? Besides embarrassed that he found me dangling in my Hello Kitty underwear?" The corners of my mouth tugged upward slightly. She bit back a smile but nodded. Mine faded. "Guilty that I enjoyed meeting Jackson," I admitted quietly. She studied me for a moment. "Okay." She stood and walked over to her desk, then pulled papers from the bottom drawer before coming back toward me. "I want you to fill these out. Be as blatantly honest as you can. Like I said, there's no right or wrong." She handed me a 3-page assessment and a pencil. "Right now?" My stomach twisted as I looked over the questions. "If you can," she answered gently, taking her seat again. "I think there might be a little more going on than your last doctor caught, and this will help me figure it out." I took another drink, then answered the questions as truthfully as I could. "I long for Will every day. Yes, it's disruptive. I've accepted this as my reality. Hell yes, I'm still bitter." Each question pricked at the raw center of my soul, scraping and cutting until they drew blood. I finished and handed the papers back to her. She thanked me. And I walked to the window so I could see the water while she quietly read my answers. "Okay. Morgan, I don't think it's just anxiety or depression that's causing your attacks." "You don't?" My brow puckered as I turned to face her. "No." She shook her head and leaned forward slightly, putting the papers in my file on the table. "I think you have something called complicated grief." I scoffed. "Because we had a complicated relationship? Maybe that's part of it. Complicated grief happens when your rational mind has accepted the loss, but your emotional mind hasn't quite gotten there. It keeps you stuck in that first, sharp, acute stage of grief and doesn't let you move forward." "Okay. And what am I supposed to do with that?" I walked back to her desk, stopping behind the armchair I'd been sitting in. "I'd help you move forward." She offered me a soft smile. I clenched the back of the armchair, the fabric warping slightly under my fingers. "You'd help me move forward," I repeated, each word a little less kind than the last. "Yes. We do a very specific form of therapy that's been proven to help people just like you move forward in the grieving process." She sat there calmly while my emotions boiled over. "Move forward?" I shook my head. "Move forward to what? To a life without him? To a world where everyone around me is happy because they didn't lose the only man they've ever loved? That's not moving forward. That's where I'm at. Now, there is no forward when it's the same bullshit I've been living the last 2 years. I can help you see past all this," she promised. And the worst part was, she believed that garbage. "You want to help me? Then bring him back," I snapped. "You rewind time and go to that godforsaken valley in Afghanistan, and you tell him that his life is worth the same as Jagger's, not less. You keep him from being the martyr." My stomach twisted with something hot and ugly as my nails dug into the upholstery. "Then you go into a grocery store in Alabama and stop my phone from ringing, and you catch that jar of raspberry jam before I drop it all over the floor, and it shatters." I shoved the memory away with the chair
and it screeched across the hardwood floor. You sew my heart back together, and you give us the chance we didn't get. A razor-tipped fist of emotion forced its way up my chest, prickling my eyes with pain, and I had to shout to be heard around it. Everyone else got their shot. Josh and Ember, Paisley and Jagger, Sam and Grayson. Hell, even Paisley and Will got their shot. But the minute he decides that it's finally time for us to get our chance to be happy together, he dies, saving my best friend's husband. I rubbed viciously at my chest, right where my set of aviation wings should have hung, would have hung if he'd lived. I don't want to move forward. I want Will. I want our shot. I swiped angrily at my face, batting away the tears that had escaped during my tirade. God, how long had it been since I'd lost it like that? I can't bring him back, Dr. Searcy said gently. I'm so very sorry for the loss you've suffered. But I know I can help you if you'll let me. It's 4 months of some pretty intense therapy, but I know we can lessen some of the pain you're in. You know? I snapped. Nothing lessened the pain. Nothing but sleep took it away. And even then, I eventually had to wake up.